the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Dev is especially connected to one devotee, and that devotee's name is Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj. He is called Maharaj because he is the son of the great king, whose name was Hiranyakashipu. And unfortunately, Hiranyakashipu was a demon. In Sanskrit, the word is asura, the opposite of having godly qualities. He had demonic qualities, Hiranyakashipu did. But Prahlad, his son, his nature was completely different from his father's. Now, the presentation that we will have now will have two parts. The first part is more or less the end, and then of the pastime, and then the second part will begin at the beginning. So you'll have to tolerate the end before the beginning. And the end is of the prayers that Prahlad offers to Lord Nisringadev when Lord Nisringadev, the Supreme Lord, kills his father. Now, the deity we see here of Lord Nisringadev is very fierce, but even more fierce is the picture that we will see of Lord Nisringadev stretching the father of Prahlad. Across his lap and ripping him apart. It is very gruesome. He rips him apart and takes his intestines and places it around his neck as a garland. Now, this is not what we usually think of when, at least the feature that we would like to see God in. When we think of the Supreme Lord, we don't like to think of him in such a fierce way. But this vision of Lord Nisringadev ripping apart Hiranyakashipu gives so much pleasure to the devotees, because Lord Nisringadev, the Supreme Lord, comes for one purpose only, and that is to protect his dear devotee, Prahlad. Prahlad is a devotee who's very young, perhaps 5 years old, and just as a child naturally depends upon his father, Prahlad could not depend on his biological father because his father was a demon and tried to kill him. But the same simplicity of heart that a child naturally has towards his good father, Prahlad Maharaj had towards Lord Nisringadev. And after Hiranyakashipu, so there's a lesson just in that alone. The simplicity of heart that Prahlad has when approaching the Supreme Lord, the natural, uncomplicated simplicity of heart that a child naturally approaches his father with, is the proper mentality to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with. And despite Lord Nisringadev appearing in such a fierce, and we'll see the picture, of course we've all seen it, so fierce and so angry, Prahlad was not the slightest bit disturbed. He had no fear within him because of the simplicity of heart and the depth of his relationship with the Lord, his Lord. So when Hiranyakashipu was killed, Lord Nrisimhadeva was fiercely angry. Practically speaking, we can say that Lord Nrisimhadeva is the personification of the anger of God. And since God, the Supreme Lord, is unlimited, just imagine what his anger is. Unlimited. Unlimited anger mixed with unlimited power. And that is Lord Nrisimhadeva. And I don't know if you have ever had this experience, but I have had, and some devotee recently told me the same thing. They were in a zoo, and there was a lion in the cage, and the lion was behind very thick bars. But yet, the lion has a specific potency, a shakti, that when he roars, terror enters the heart. Due to his nature, due to his potency, due to his shakti, due to his power. So Lord Nrisimhadeva, Narasimha, half lion, half man, was ferocious and had that shakti of creating terror in anyone's heart who didn't have the simplicity that Prahlad had. So when Lord Nrisimhadeva was so angry, the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods, they were terrified. They, who were Ishwaras, controllers themselves, they were terrified when confronted with the roar and the anger of Lord Nrisimhadeva, because they didn't have the purity, the simplicity that Prahlad had. So they offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva to try to cool him down because he was so angry. Why was he angry? Because Hiranyakashipu had threatened to kill his dear devotee Prahlad. One incarnation, the Lord, specifically came to protect one devotee. And that one devotee was so protected because of the purity of his heart. Later on in the Bhagavatam, it said, Prahlad says that he has been sent to this world for the specific purpose of illustrating or exemplifying a pure devotee. To show us, to teach us, to allow us to see, and also to allow us to follow his example, to set the standard of what the heart, the consciousness, the chitta of a pure devotee is, how surrendered and pure and dependent, how surrendered, how much he places himself in the hand of Krishna. And in that way, he is fearless. And that is the only way to become fearless in this world. We usually find so many props to prop us up, to make us feel secure, but all those props are just hollow. They have no substance. They are durasraya. They are not true shelters. While Prahlad was exemplifying what real shelter is, and again, as we have said several times, the proper move to take those shelter. Now, we won't be able to read all of Prahlad's prayers, but what I'm going to do is not actually read them, but for some of them, I'm going to quickly go through them and say them, having read Prabhupada's translations and the purports. Say them in a simple way so that we get an idea of the mood and the flow of Prahlad Maharaj's thoughts as he's praying to Lord Nisringadev. Again, the demigods could not pacify him, make him peaceful. And they asked Prahlad to make him peaceful. And Prahlad, by his words, his devotion-soaked words, will make Nisringadev very, very satisfied and peaceful. I think Mataji has something for Lord Nisringadev. Someone should help her. Ganesham Prabhu. Mataji wants to give something to Lord Nisringadev. That is the function of a priest. To accept on behalf of the Lord. And the function of all of us is to give, to make our offerings. Now, Prahlad is going to speak about this point. Now, with a fixed mind, it describes that Prahlad's prayers were done with a fixed mind. What does that mean? Well, we know what an unfixed mind is. When we chant our japa, we find out the mind jumps all over the universe. Vyavya satmika buddhi. Fixed mind means focused on the one objective. And his voice was faltering. That means it was shaking. Why? Due to the emotion, the affection that he was feeling for Lord Nisringadev. And he said, the demigods, again I'm translating it into my own words and shortening it in that way. Prahlad said, the first thing he said, all the demigods were not able to satisfy you, and they are so pure. And here I am, having been born in a demonic family, the son of my father, and they're asking me to do what they are unable to do? I'm not at all qualified. Now, there are some hints in that, how we should approach the Lord, obviously. Not, here I am, Lord, it's me. You're so fortunate. Here I am. No, that's not quite the right mood that Prahlad is exhibiting. I am not at all qualified. But what are the qualifications? One may possess wealth, great family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, charisma, power, physical strength, determination, intelligence, and mystic cities. But these qualifications are not enough to satisfy the Supreme Lord. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by bhakti, by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and the Lord was satisfied with him. Now why did Prahlad mention Gajendra? Because Gajendra was
in danger.
Huh? He was in danger, but what was his body like? Huh? He was an elephant. Gajendra, the king of elephants. So he was an animal. And even an animal, Gajendra, Hanuman, they were animals. But because they had bhakti, they were able to satisfy the Lord. So he gives this example. And then Prahlad says, even if one has all brahminical qualifications, and from the Sanatana Sujata there's a list of 12 qualifications. But Prahlad says, even if one has those qualifications, such purity, but doesn't have bhakti, the Lord will not be satisfied. All he has is his false prestige. Bhaktiyamam nabhi jananti yavanya chalsmi tatvatara, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And why is this, Prahlad continues? It's because the Lord, the question is how to satisfy the Lord. And Prahlad says all these external things won't satisfy him, Why? It's because Krishna is already satisfied. He doesn't need anything. If I'm hungry and someone gives me food, I feel very thankful. If I am poor and if someone gives me money, I feel thankful. If I'm in danger and someone saves me, I feel thankful. But Krishna needs nothing. He is neither poor, nor hungry, nor can he be in danger. He said, I saw your point. So he needs nothing. But yet, even though he is fully satisfied in himself, when something is offered to him with devotion by the Lord's mercy, he accepts that. And it is not for his benefit. And this is something that is very difficult for us to accept, that when we offer something to Krishna, it is for our benefit. It is not a gain for him. Again, maybe the children are going to have to be a little more quiet. A little more, maybe. Because their singing is so sweet, my mind becomes attracted. And I start to speak. So he says that the offering that a devotee makes is for his own good. And his mood is, I'm unqualified. Please accept this by your kindness. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palankaram. Just offer me with a leaf of flower, some water, available anywhere. He has no need of leaves and flowers and water. But Bhakti Paritam. If offered in a mood to please me with Bhakti, Asnami, take it. And then he gives an example. Prahlad gives an example. Just as if when you're decorating yourself in a mirror, automatically the image of the mirror becomes decorated. You don't have to make a separate endeavor to decorate the mirror. You just decorate yourself and the mirror image becomes decorated. So similarly, if we make our offerings to Krishna, then we become decorated. We become beautified. We become wealthy with the true wealth of bhakti. Why is bhakti, why is devotion true wealth? The answer is because it is ours forever. Everything else anitya. Everything else brings a sukha. No happiness, temporary. So Prahlad continues and says, although I was born in an asuric family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor, with a full heart, as far as my intelligence allows, as far as my capacity, by the grace of God, we all have different capacities. And when we make our offerings, prayers, or otherwise, according to who we are, according to what our capacity is, we can do it. He will accept it if it is done for his pleasure. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world can be purified of material life, which means being full of so many material desires which keep us here in the material existence continuously forever. We can be purified, Prahlad says, if one offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. So that is something that we can all do today. As Prahlad is offering to Lord Nisringadeva, he's kindly come on this his appearance day, and we've come, and we may be thinking, oh, he's so fortunate that I have come. But actually, we are so fortunate that he has come. And we are so fortunate to be seen by him. even though we think it is our fortune to see him. But what can we see with our materially coated eyes? Premanjana Charita Vakti Vilochanena. The heart filled with prema, with love, is what sees. So we can place ourselves before him, offer our prayers and pray that he will see us, place his glance of mercy upon us. And then he said, God said, because he's been requested by Brahma to ask him to in contemporary jargon, chill out. Or we could say, cease your anger, more probably. If you would just let your anger go down. You are angry because I was being threatened. And now that demon has been killed, and here I am, offering you prayers. So please cease your anger, my Lord. Because even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. There's a story that's famous in ISKCON's history that Srila Prabhupada told, that when he was a young devotee and he was in Sridham Mayapur, at Sri Chaitanya Math, early one morning, they found a big cobra. And they held him up. They are village people, they know how to do these things. We don't recommend that. One time when I was teaching in Gita Nagari, there was a book that, because there were many snakes there, and the book told the difference, the government release book told how you could tell the difference between a poisonous snake and a non-poisonous snake, and it showed how a poisonous snake has this kind of eyes, and the non-poisonous snake doesn't have this particular thing in the eyes. So I had to tell the children, no, don't go looking at the snake in their eyes to find out if they're poisonous or not. So a cobra was poisonous. So they held up the cobra, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came onto the veranda in Chaitanya Math. And they said, what should we do with him? And he said, kill him. And they killed him. And Prabhupada said, there was a doubt in my mind. Why has Guru Maharaj said to kill, he's a living entity, and a sadhu doesn't like to see any living entity harmed in any way? Why has Guru Maharaj said to kill the snake? And then Prabhupada explained, when I read this verse, I felt so happy in my heart. Because it says, even a sadhu, a saintly person, takes pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. Because these creatures are very envious by nature, and they will, even if you don't do anything to them, they will bite you. They are so full of envy. So therefore, if they are killed, their destination can only be better. It is for their good, practically speaking. So even a sadhu will allow this and gets pleasure in it, transferring them higher to a better birth. So this gives us a statement of how wicked envy is in the heart. We bite unprovoked just to cause trouble to others. And it really, it springs from the unhappiness in our own hearts. So rather than biting others, which is not recommended, it is better to gain true happiness in the heart, which is recommended. Now, Prahlad continues, but I won't. I just wanted to speak as much as I could about Prahlad's prayers before we start part two, which is the beginning. We'll tell something about the pastimes.
And I was hoping that that you all and myself as well will become inspired to offer our, make our offerings to Lord Nisringadev on this day, and of course the Sisi Gornetai and Srila Prabhupada. Now, Pratik Prabhu, now this is a bit tricky because I want the lights off, but I also want to be able to read something. So how am I going to do that? I brought my own little sun. But there was one other thing that we have to do. That I wanted to, I need your help. When I was young, and when Lord Nisringadev would appear in the point of the drama, we would get so much pleasure out of imitating the roaring of a lion and going something like, but not bad. I could still do it a little bit. But now I'm older and it's not such a cause of pleasure for me. So what I was going to ask you all to do is roar at the proper time. Not that you're Lord Nisringadev, but it just adds to the great excitement. So we'll have one practice now. Now don't be shy. But then when it comes time in the presentation, when Lord Nisringadev appears, we expect a good healthy roar to come from the... there's an expression in English, the roaring of the crowd. And this is what it is especially it refers to. So now we will have a practice roar, please. One, two, three. Wow. Now don't forget, see if you can do it without reminding you at the proper time. One more time. You better get that. And I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Lying, get it? I'm not lying. Okay. Now we have to turn out the lights, please, so that we can see the presentation. And then it may take a little checking of the sound. It seems to be a bit tilted. But never mind. Okay, fix it if we can fix it. It's keeps the screen. How do you? Huh? Nicole, Prabhu. Mr. Practical. Come on. Wow. This man knows his. Whoops. Well, we should either move the screen or move the people. One of the two. Can't...
Is that right? Is that fair enough?
Huh? Well, it was. Oh. Okay. So, can we move it back? What do we do about the people? Huh? Maybe some people have to move a little bit.
Can move that screen and move the projector.
But the... Okay, we're going to have to... I think it's not practical. It's carefully placed. Okay. Okay, is that better? Now the screen is so little. Okay, it's good. It's square. By moving it back. Okay, it's okay. Whatever it is, it is. It's improved. Okay. Let the presentation begin. All right, all right. Just hold your roaring until the right time. Some of us are so enthusiastic for Lord Nisringadev's appearance. Now the sound should be coming. No, yes. The sound? There's a few seconds of the sound. Oh, it started over again because there should be sound. Oh. Start it all over again. Start it again. Exit and start again. Exit and start again. Exit. Exit. Yes. Yes. Thank you. I'll start running. The sound isn't working. Old sound engineer. Now the sound is working. Now, the past time, spacebar, please. The past time of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance and the killing of Hiranyakashipu actually begins long, long before the killing of Hiranyakashipu. The two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, in Vaikuntha, they stop the four Kumaras from entering the palace of Lord Narayan. This pastime is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. It's quite exceptionally wonderful. It is so striking, actually. But in any case, the four Kumaras, not understanding the position of Jai and Vijay, they curse the two gatekeepers to come to the material world, accusing them of having a vision of duality, who is qualified and not qualified to enter. And they beg, the two gatekeepers beg them, we don't mind going to the material world, but let us not ever forget our Lord Narayan. So the two gatekeepers went and they took their three births each as Shishupal Dantavakra, Ravan and Kumbhakarna, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha, and Hiranyakashipu was very angry at Lord Vishnu and wanted to get revenge. And for this, he needed more power. Spacebar? Particularly, you're going to have to watch me a little bit. And to gain his power, he began to perform terrible austerities. And these austerities were causing havoc in the universe. And the demigods went to Lord Brahma to complain. And Lord Brahma decided to stop Hiranyakashipu from gaining more power. But when he came, he could not find Hiranyakashipu because ants had eaten his entire body. His austerities were so severe, his life was circulating just within his bones. And when Lord Brahma saw him, he told him, first he restored his body with the sacred waters from his Kamandala, and then he said to Hiranyakashipu, you have pleased me by your austerities. I will grant you whatever you want. Now this, by the way, is a very dangerous thing to say to an asura. So he wanted immortality. He wanted to live forever. But for the most terrible reasons, so that he could control, exploit, and rule the universe in any way he wanted. So he said to Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu said, grant me that I not meet death from any living being that has been created by you. Grant me that I not die within a residence or outside any residence.
during the daytime or night, not in the ground nor in the sky. Grant me that my death may not be brought by any being other than those created by you. Granted. Not by any weapon, nor by any human being, not by any animal. So in this way, he was trying to stop his death from any way he could conceive of. Grant me that I cannot be killed by any demigod or demon, a snake from the lower planets. And since no one can kill you in the battlefield, and you have no competitor, therefore, O Lord Brahma, grant me the benediction that I will have no rival. And give me sole lordship over all living entities and all the devatas. And give me all the glories of that position. And give me all mystic powers that can never be lost at any time. And Lord Brahma granted all these benedictions. And Aranyakashipu thought, now I will live forever and I will go about my plans for enjoyment. Now while Aranyakashipu was performing his austerities, the demigods attacked Hiranyakashipu's kingdom and caught the wife of Hiranyakashipu, whose name was Kayagu, and she was with child, and they feared that this child is going to be as bad or worse than his father, Hiranyakashipu. We will not harm her, but we will kill the child when he is born. But Narada Muni stopped them, and they said, and he said, this child is not like his father. He is actually a great devotee. He is always protected by the Lord, and even if you try to kill him, you will be unable to do so. He is dear to the Lord. Narada Muni then took Kayagu to his ashram, and he spoke spiritual topics, Krishna Katha, to the mother of Prahlad, who was in the womb. And Prahlad, who was in the womb, heard everything and remembered everything. He remembered all the instructions that Narada Muni had told him. And then when Hiranyakashipu returned, she gave birth to Prahlad, who turned out to be a great devotee. That is Prahlad. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, when he grew a bit, he was sent to school. The children in those days were sent to Gurukulas, but he was sent to an Asurakula. And he learned all the information that is important for ruling a kingdom, politics, rajniti, how to control your enemies, how to fight, how to do this. But there was no spiritual topics. Prahlad listened, but he was not actually interested at all. And then, one day, while Prahlad was just perhaps four and a half, he went to his father. His father called him and very affectionately placed him on his knee and said, my dear Prahlad, what do you learn in school today? How many parents ever ask their children that? I think all parents ask their children that. What is the best thing you learned today? And Prahlad Maharaj, he shocked his father with his answer. And he said, Tat saru manye sura varjita dehinam sarasa mugna viyam asakrahat andanti govir visakta tamizram nahitvapma pasam dhyamanda kupam vanam vitoya harim ashrita. He said, it is good if there is a person. This is how he answered his father. He was so simple of heart and devotional. He answered his father saying, it is good that if there is a person whose consciousness is only fixed on his body and providing happiness for his body, such a person, it would be good. He should give up his life of living as a householder, which is compared to a great dark well, and go to the vanam gatoyad haramashrita, and he should go to the forest, specifically the forest known as Vrindavan, and there take full shelter of Lord Hari. Now when Hiranyakashipu heard these words from his child, he did not think them cute or clever. He thought, my boy has been influenced by my enemy Vishnu. And he sent him back to school under the supervision of the two teachers? Sandanamarka. And said, be very careful and make sure that this boy does not hear anything about our enemy and make sure his mind doesn't become influenced. This is how parents usually talk to teachers. I found out by being a teacher. Tell them what they have to do. So in any case, the boy went back to the school, and Sandaramaka spoke to him very sweetly. My dear Prahlad, you are such a good boy. Now tell us the simple truth. Who has influenced you in the way of your enemies? And Prahlad, his answer was also very simple. He said, I've previously heard that people think in terms of friends and enemies, and now I'm seeing it. Actually, you are thinking that Vishnu is your enemy, but I have been blessed by his mercy, and I understand that he is only the well-wishing friend of everyone. This friends and enemy thinking, it gets in the way of our actual realization of the Supreme Lord. It should be given up. He spoke to his teachers in that way. And then he said, actually, my consciousness, my heart, is so naturally attracted to Krishna. It is like the attraction of iron to a magnet. And the teachers became so upset. They said, we will beat you. We will chastise you. You give this up. You give up this talking. Well, you should be filled with right type of teaching. And they continued their teachings to him, teaching them about politics, etc. And then when they thought the boy had been sufficiently taught properly, that would eradicate his so-called spiritual knowledge and influence by the Lord, they brought him again to his father. And the father, this time in a testing mood, not so sure of himself as he was last time, he said, Prahlad, what is the best thing that you have learned in school? And Prahlad answered, in the verses, very famous verses, that practically define what bhakti is, what devotional service is. He answered, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam. He asked him what the best thing is, and his answer was hearing and chanting about Vishnu. And remembering Krishna, this is the best thing. This alone is the best thing. And serving the Lord, dasyam, padasevanam, atmanavedanam, giving yourself completely to the Supreme Lord, This is called bhakti, hearing and chanting, remembering, worshipping his lotus feet, serving, vandanam, offering prayers, giving yourself. This is the best thing. This is the only good thing. And if one does these things, bhakti and kriyate, bhakti lakshana, with just the purpose of pleasing the Lord, not trying to get anything for oneself, this is what the best thing is. And this is what I'm telling you. And Maharani Kashyapu was furious when he heard this. He was so angry. He said, "Prahlad, where did you learn this from?" First he was angry at the teachers, thinking that his teacher, Sundar Mokka, had betrayed him. And they said, no, this boy is naturally attracted to Krishna. We have not taught him anything like this. Harani Kashyapu said, "Where have you learned this from? Answer me." Prahlad replied, "Matirna Krishna Paratos Fatova Nityo Vidyeta Vihavatanam Mandantagovya Vishakatanizam Purnas Purna Chavasisakranam." He said, My dear father, don't worry, you won't get this disease that I have of remembering and attraction to Krishna. Because if you have your mind focused on enjoying material life, Matirna Krishna means your intelligence, your consciousness will never be turned towards the Lord. His preaching to his father was so strong. You'll continue following the blind who are leading you. You are blind and you're following those who are blind. And what happens when the blind follow the blind? They fall into a ditch on the side of the road and they are ruined. In any case, point, you just end up just chewing the chew again and again, eating the thing that has no taste. This is how he spoke to his father. It wasn't boldness or arrogance, it was simplicity. But based on purity and knowledge. And then he said, Natevadu Svatagati Nivishu. People don't know what the real goal of life is. And then finally, he answered the question, "Where did you learn this from?" And he said, Nasham Matis Tabara Rukramang Green. That no one can actually gain a taste for this, for love for Krishna, unless he has smeared his body with the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee who is beloved to Krishna, who has that taste. Bhakti is catching in that sense. One has to serve a devotee. This is the words of Prahlad Maharaj. So when he said this to his father, his father said, "This boy is so arrogant and so influenced by our enemy Vishnu that he must be killed." And indeed, he tried to kill his own son, who was so innocent and so young. So, he tried to kill him in so many different ways. He put him, he got his Rakshasa, demonic servant, to try to pierce him. He threw him into a pit of snakes. He employed tantra to kill him. He administered him poison. He tried to starve him. This was a 5-year-old boy. He was a snake himself, envious. He exposed him to severe cold, water, fire and wind. He threw heavy stones to crush him. He placed them under the feet of elephants. And he threw them from a cliff. But the words of Narada Muni were true. This boy could not be hurt because he is protected always by Vishnu, by the Lord, by Krishna. And Prahlad's consciousness was free from anxiety because he felt himself fully under Krishna's protection, like a young boy feels himself fully protected by his parents, even if the situation is dangerous. And the parents will do anything to protect their child. And similarly, Krishna will do anything to protect such a simple and pure-hearted devotee like Prahlad. So when all his attempts to kill Prahlad failed, he became very angry. And he became morose. And he began fearing Prahlad, because Prahlad's powers were greater than his. So seeing him in that condition, Sandanamaka told him, "Don't worry, he's just a boy. A boy likes something today, and the same thing he likes today, his mood will flicker and change. Don't worry. Let us educate him more." So they brought him to the school. And one day when they were out, Prahlad began preaching to the other students. And the first words that he said were Komaram Akshiret Pragyo, everyone. Dhamman Bhagavatani Ha Durabham Manusha Janma Tarap Adruvam Arthadam. Prahlad said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. Komaram Akshiret Pragyo. As soon as one understands what life is about, one from the very beginning of his life, from the tender age of childhood, he should practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, durlabham. And although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. And even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." And Srila Prabhupada said something in his purport that is important. In all the schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives. And this is the turning point, is actually when we put the instructions that we hear into practice. And thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra said, this is the Prabhupada's purport, everyone, Hariya Nama, Hariya Nama, Hariya Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva 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 Gatiri Asa. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. So Prahlad taught his school friends to not misuse their lives, but to focus on Krishna consciousness and not think that, "Oh, I'm young now, I'll take the spiritual life when I'm older," because one cannot practice spiritual life when one's older unless one has been trained in youth and as one grows up. So Prahlad spoke final words to his school friends saying, Etavan eva lokesmin punsa swarta parasmita ekanta bhakti govinda govinde yatsa vatra tarikshinam. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. So Prabhupada, before that, he said, and it is easy to do. Whoops, you didn't. And it is easy to do, because there is no qualification other than wanting to please the Lord. Just try to do something to please him. And when the students heard this, they were ecstatic. And they began to chant Krishna's names, and they began to dance, and then Sanda and Amaka walked in, and they were not ecstatic. They were furious. They were angry. Do you know why? Because their reputation was being ruined by this boy who would not listen to their instructions. He had his own idea, a spiritual idea, a pure idea. And they didn't like it. So they brought him to Hiranyakashipu, who was so angry. And Hiranyakashipu said to Prahlad, Prahlad,
oh, let me find the exact place. I would like to read his mood.
Oh, most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, oh, lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are a fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. You rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets in the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so arrogant that you appear fearless? Because Prahlad was fearless. Who are you getting your power from? Everyone else is terrified of me. Where is the source of your power? And Prahlad answered, the one who is giving me my power is the same one who has given you your power. Your strength is not your strength, nor is mine. He is the strength of everyone, and without him, no one can become strong. His power is so great, he creates the entire universe. He maintains it. It is he who annihilates it. Give up your demonic mentality, my father, and do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind peaceful towards everyone. And when one is on that platform of true friendship to everyone, then and only then, when one sees that the Lord is in everyone's heart and people are acting powerlessly, being impelled by goodness, passion, and ignorance, the modes of nature, if one is in that mood and maintains a friendly attitude towards everyone, seeing Krishna is in everyone's heart, then and only then he can worship the Lord properly. So Hiranyakashipu became still more furious when he heard that. And he cursed Prahlad again and again. And he was great in bodily strength. He chastised Prahlad further with harsh words. He said, my dear Prahlad, I will now cut your head from your body. And he pulled out his sword. Let us see your God come and protect you now. Where is he? You always say that there is a God who is everywhere, who is all-powerful. You're always minimizing my power. Is he everywhere? Yes. Is he in this pillar? Yes. And before I cut off your head, I will strike him and kill him. Ranikashipu approached the pillar and hit it with all his power. And from the pillar, again and again, came Lord Nrisingadev. Haranyakashipu could not understand the source of that roar. And he began to fight Lord Nrisingadev. And Lord Nrisingadev, angry, placed him across his knees and ripped open his chest and killed him, just like a snake can capture a mouse. And he wore the intestines around his neck. And this is where he was so angry that the demigods were fearful, and they asked Prahlad to offer prayers. And I picked one prayer here to a very sincere and humble prayer by Prahlad to touch us with, because there is something that we've put on. So in the midst of all the prayers that Prahlad offered, he offered this one, because we've heard this already, that Prahlad asked Brahma asked Prahlad, your Lord Nrisingadev, my dear son, Lord Nrisingadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord. And this is one of the prayers that he said from 39. We read perhaps 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and this is way on. A very humble prayer by Prahlad that really shows us how to approach the Lord. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty. Being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed, my mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money, looking for shelter in that. Thus it has become most polluted, and it is never satisfied, my mind. It is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor, and in such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Because before Prahlad said, by recounting your activities, thinking about you, and hearing about your activities and remembering them, my consciousness will become purified and I will become truly happy. But my mind is so distracted by so many other things, I don't have the mentality, I don't have the time, and even when I do have the time, I don't have the mentality to hear and discuss Krishna Katha. Now, Srila Prabhupada has lectured on this verse and many other verses of Prahlad's prayers. They were very dear to him. And we have a short segment of Prabhupada's lecture that I would like you to listen to. Given in Sridhar Mayapur in 1976. Oh, lecture spelled wrong. We have to correct that. Oh, don't forget that. I didn't say that. But it is. Go ahead. Let's see what Prabhupada has to say.
A little louder. Here, yoga means to control the mind and the senses. That is yoga. Because without controlling the mind and the senses, there is no personal spiritual enhancement.
It's supposed to go by itself.
Without controlling the mind, there is no personal spiritual enhancement. Therefore, Krishna advised to Arjuna that he practice yoga in his existence, so that he is able to control the mind. But what you say, that control the mind is very difficult for me, Krishna. I cannot practice. Krishna Pramati Balavadhyam. Mind is very restless. And it is very difficult to control. Prasaham Nibram Varne Bhagavati was Buddha. I think control mind is still more difficult than to control the mind. Nobody can control the mind. So, Krishna also said, even though I am able to control the wind, I cannot control the heart. So, Krishna recommended that Krishna not discouraged Arjuna. Arjuna is a family man, and he went to the Lord field to gain the victory. So, every morning, engaged in some such engagement, occupation and duty, Brahma, Bhakti, Rupasana, and his Lord. And the mind is very difficult to control. But Krishna gave the easiness of Yodhiyama Bhishanade Sam Mandrata Mantra Apana Sadhyama Mandrati Bhagavan Samiti. If you can keep Krishna always in your mind, then the whole thing is so, chant always, Hare Krishna. This Samadhanam, my spiritual food, and it will not be subjected to these forces who over. This is the secret. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has commanded. In the Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to come out of this Kamasura position. It is not possible. But if you chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Krishna, 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 in a different way. The partition of mind is, Prabhupada says, that Prabhupada has written to us, one should be interested in Krishna Bhakti. We are interested in so many Bhakti, because the matches means to man in the morning, so big volume. So many Bhakti are there. We need many materials, dramas, and novels, and pages of stories, and king stories, they are very much attached to this. All these kathas mean stories, very interesting. But you are not interested in Krishna. My name, I am interested in katha, that is my nature. But it has become perverted on account of being contaminated by this material. This is all good. Therefore, Prabhupada said that Nitan Manaskara Pathas Vidun Tanata Sankriyate Dhrita Dhrishta Asadhu Tribhyam. It is so polluted. Asadhu, dishonored. Everything for us, his mind is that, full of bad things. So, in another place it is said, Sinnatana Sarata Krishna Purna Samadhi Vidyan Kasa Bhavagrahi. This is all. The Vidyan Kasa is in the core of heart. There are so many nasty, dirty things. That is the material part of it. So it can be, I'm going to say, avoided or cleaned. Chetavatma Mahajanam, Chetavatma Mahajanam, as your. This whole process of education and advancement of civilization is how to cleanse the dirty mind. Why this dirty? Kamasura. The rest is that and the so you should always realize that mind is the best friend and the understanding. If he remains anadvam, he works it. And he is the satanas best. So we have to control his mind. That is very easy. And control his mind as thing. So he will not push the paradigm that Bhagavan's way from the master. He has to fix that. His opportunity for punishment is everyone. The temple is when God gradually making the mind thinking of him. You come to the temple, you see the deity, you see Krishna, you think of Krishna, and you increase. That is the system. Every man, every woman needs to go to the temple. This is our very civilization. To make the mind Krishna. Alright, Krishna answers.
So when Prahlad finished all of his prayers with his fully Krishna conscious mind, he actually pleased Lord Nisringadev. And Lord Nisringadev after Lord Nisringadev heard the devotion soaked prayers Prahlad Maharaj had offered him, he became both peaceful and pleased. And spoke the following words to Prahlad. My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask for me any benediction that you want. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. For one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated tried to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Lord Nisringadev then offered the following benediction. Because it's our sinful reactions that cause us to suffer in this world. And he said, my dear Prahlad, one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.